Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navati Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Jai. So now we're continuing with the battle of Arjuna with Chitrasena. Chitrasena, who had fought the Pandavas only to protect his honor, then appeared in front of Arjuna and said, "Behold, it is only your friend fighting with you." Right, because Chitrasena and that is, because there was some honor that they were taking them, and you know, you said to let go and all this and that. So there was just, you know, as Kshatriyas, they have this honor thing like that. Seeing Chitrasena approaching in peace, Arjuna withdrew his weapons, and his brothers did the same. The Gandharva king and Arjuna inquired about each other's welfare, and Arjuna said, "O hero, what purpose do you serve by punishing the Kurus? Why do you persecute Duryodhana and his followers?" Chitrasena smiled. "Listen, Dhananjaya, I knew long ago the real purpose for Duryodhana's coming here. He wanted to mock you in your adversity and flaunt his own wealth. Understanding this, Indra ordered me to capture the wretch and his followers and bring them before him in chains. Allow us to carry them away." Right? You know, so Indra has given the order like that. Arjuna shook his head. "If you want to please me, then let them go. Dharmaraj has commanded it. They are our kinsfolk." Chitrasena frowned. "The sinful Duryodhana is full of vanity. He does not deserve to be freed. He has deceived and wronged your brother and grievously offended your wife. O Arjuna, he came here to add insult to injury. Yudhishthira did not know his reason for coming. Therefore, let us explain it to him and see what he decides after that." Right? So then he was saying, okay, Yudhishthira is sent to release them. And so you've done your duty, and we were following the order of Indra. So when he says, oh, we follow a higher one who protects, one is they're under Chitrasena, but at the same time, they're under Indra. Right? So Indra has sent them to do this, and we didn't know that before, right? Neither did the Pandavas. But now Chitrasena is saying, having that, then he says to Arjuna, and he says, no, Yudhishthira sent us to free them, that because they're our kinsfolk. So then Chitrasena is saying, yes, but Yudhishthira doesn't know the real reason they came. So let us go discuss with Yudhishthira, right? So here you have Gandharva's king who's going to, you know, wants to discuss with Yudhishthira because he knows that, you know, he's going to do everything religious and all that. And, you know, depending on how that goes, then they'll be able to discuss it with Indra. But his point was, is they don't deserve, they're bad people, you know, so if they get punished by the king of the universe, what's the problem? Arjuna agreed, you know, that they go see Yudhishthira. And they all went to Yudhishthira to inform him of what had transpired. Yudhishthira said, "Dear Sur, it is fortunate for us that although you possess such great prowess, you did not slay Dhritarashtra's wicked sons. Our family honor has thus been saved, and will be further saved if you release them. I am pleased to see you. Please tell me if there is anything I can do for you, and then return in peace to your own abode." Right, because otherwise, if they had been sent by Indra to kill, they would have killed them. But they, you see, they just destroyed their chariots and everything. They could have. So that was the whole point, is Duryodhana is trying to kill them, you know, in Karna, but they're trying to take them prisoner. So naturally, it's going to work out a little differently. Chitrasena was delighted at Yudhishthira's words. "I am satisfied simply to see you, great one. We shall free the Kurus," right? Because now he's pointing out to do this, but Yudhishthira always works on Dharma. And so they've come, they've asked for this, they've taken shelter, and so we've done our things. You've done your things, you took them prisoner. So their point to come and flaunt their wealth and that in front of the Pandavas has failed. And so that has been attained. And so in this way, all from all parties, it's all been. And Duryodhana is the only one that lost out here. But Indra, you know, and Chitrasena, they were successful. And the Pandavas were successful. And then the glory goes to Yudhishthira for maintaining Dharma. The Gandharva brought his captives into the pond of his presence. Indra then appeared and sprinkled celestial nectar on the Gandharvas who had been slain. They all regained their lives. Headed by Chitrasena, they rose up to the skies and vanished. Right, so that's why they also follow Indra, because he takes care of them. You know. And so then it was seen that, you know, it all worked out. So Indra wanted to you know, it taught a lesson, because they're always thinking, oh, our prowess is so great and all that. But we see here is no, the Pandavas were greater. You can say, oh no, but we have all these kings. But the Pandavas could defeat the Celestials. You know. So that's the point is there. And Duryodhana couldn't. In an affectionate voice, the ever-compassionate Yudhishthira said to Duryodhana, O child, never again commit such a rash act. A rash man never becomes happy. O Kuru prince, be blessed with all your brothers. Go home now and do not be despondent. Right, because he's younger. He's like Bhima's age, so he's younger, so therefore he can call him a child. But Duryodhana was devastated. He felt as if his heart was splitting in two. He had achieved the opposite of what he had intended, right? Because we saw here, if you protect an enemy, that's even more satisfying, you know, as you said before, what, you know, sons, wealth, and all these different things being gained. And so then instead of it going his way for his own ego, vanity, and envy, then the Pandavas actually get the upper hand, you know, and then supported by Indra, supported by the Gandharvas. It's not only just on the earthly plane, they're respected through the universe. And so, yeah. So Chitrasena is listening to Yudhishthira, like that, you know. Instead of humiliating his enemies, he had himself been shamed. As he made his way back to the city, he moved as if he were unconscious and without will. He said nothing to anyone. Leaving the Pandavas to worship the sacred fire of the Brahmanas, he hung his head. The Kaurava prince could not stop thinking of his defeat. After he had gone about 10 miles back through the forest, evening fell and he ordered his party to stop for the night. They set up camp on a grassy bank of a nearby river. Duryodhana entered his tent, sitting on a bedstead as bright as fire. He looked like an eclipsed moon. Unable to sleep, he remained lost in painful thoughts. Just before sunrise, Karna came to see him, having fled far from the battlefield when defeated by the Gandharvas. Oh, so he got away. He had not witnessed the Kauravas' capture. When he returned, no one had been able to tell him how his friend had been humiliated, so no one had said anything. So then, he had therefore assumed that the prince had overpowered the Gandharvas by his own might. Praising Duryodhana's strength and prowess, Karna said, "It is indeed fortunate you are alive and we have met again. By good luck, you have defeated the Gandharvas, who possess great might as well as the powers of illusion. I was forced to flee for my life and my body mangled by arrows. It is a great wonder that I see you and your brothers and wives here safe after that superhuman battle. What man could have done what you did today?" Karna's words only increased Duryodhana's grief. He replied in a choked voice, "You do not know what happened, so I am not angry with you. Although you think I overcame the Gandharvas, in fact, my brothers and I were all defeated. After a furious battle, we were taken prisoner and carried through the skies." You know, so that must have freaked them out, right? They're being carried through the skies by the Gandharvas. Karna was amazed. Duryodhana related to him how the four Pandavas had come to rescue them on Yudhishthira's order, and how the Gandharva king had revealed to Yudhishthira the Kuru's real purpose in coming to Dvaitabhan. "When I heard Chitrasena speaking in the Pandavas' presence, I felt like entering the earth. Alas, what great sorrow could be mine? Greater sorrow could be mine than to be bound by chains and offered as tribute to Yudhishthira in the sight of all our women." Right? So, not only that is that, you know, you have that aspect is that, you know, even more than, you know, what we discussed before is that they were brought there in chains. So when he said, okay, let's go see Yudhishthira, it's not that just they went over and left them there. The Gandharvas went over there with all of them in chains. And before Yudhishthira, then explained what they were there for. And so then the king has to give his judgment. So the Gandharvas went to Yudhishthira for judgment, right? And that meant, and who were they judging? Duryodhana and his followers. And so then he's giving them a reprieve, you know, simply based on the family connection. But otherwise, it's very obvious that as far as behavior goes, he's bad. And so all this, then who's powerful? Yudhishthira. And so this is all seen, you know, in front of all the women. So, you know, yeah, so all these things are going to be difficult. So you can say, okay, but the women are in a lower position or a servile position, seemingly. But at the same time is all this, you know, we say the power of Draupadi. But at the same time, as you see, is their whole strength and willpower and everything is dependent upon their women. So the women are in the more powerful position. But that's the whole point, is you take that you may be in the powerful position, but you take the junior position. You know, it's just like, let us say you have an adult playing with a small child and they're wrestling. Who wins? The child. Who could win? The adult. So in the same way as that women and the men are dealing with them, who could win? The women. But because the men are women, they feel inspired and they feel this, they feel capable, they can do things. And so therefore then a very nice relationship goes between. That's the thing, the Vedic is always balanced. Well, in the modern, everybody wants it only their way, one-sided, very selfish, not at all based on relationships or social development. I have always been persecuted by those brothers, right? He's not. He persecutes them, and they simply protect themselves. And then he gets... They are my enemies and will always be so. Yet it was so. Yet it was they who released me from captivity. I am indebted to them for my life. I would have preferred to die in the battle than to suffer such a fate. Right? So that was his position. He would have rather died at the hand of the Gandharvas. But the point was, is Indra sent them there not to kill him, but to capture him so that he could be, you know, properly brought to be shamed, because he's coming there to shame the Pandavas, so he should be shamed. You know, that's the proper just. And so by Indra's arrangement, that justice was served like that. But we see by Yudhishthira's dharma, then they were saved. Duryodhana wept and Karna tried to console him. Gradually the prince managed to regain his composure. His voice was grave. Listen, friend, I shall now remain here and fast until death. Let all my brothers and other relatives return to the city. My enemy has insulted me. I can never return to Hastinapur. I, who was respected and feared by my enemies, and who enhanced the respect of my friends, have now become a source of joy to my enemies and of grief to my friends. Right? Not that they're joyful too from the point of, he's thinking is they're joyful because they've defeated him. But they're actually, their joy is simply coming from performing their duties properly as Kshatriyas. So it's not specifically to do with him like that, but he'll take it that way. You see, no matter even the nicest thing being offered, he always interprets it in an inimical way, right? Because he doesn't have the good qualities to be able to appreciate. If I return to the city, what could I say to my father? What could I say to Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vidura, and the other Kuru chiefs? In his suffering, Duryodhana realized his foolishness. What madness had driven him to come out to this forest? He recalled the many times Vidura had tried to counsel him. He had never paid even the slightest regard to that advice. Surely he was now reaping the results of his own stupidity. It was unbearable. Death was the only recourse. So, now, only when nothing works, then you can see, okay, maybe they were right. But you see, before, as he won the gambling match, and they say, it's wrong. What's wrong? I won. You know, the Pandavas, my enemies, go to the forest. Why do they say it's bad? I won. But now that he's been defeated and humiliated, now you can see, oh, maybe that's what they were trying to tell me. Looking at Karna, his eyes filled with tears, and he said, men like me, puffed up with vanity and insolence, are never blessed for any length of time, even if they obtain prosperity and knowledge. Alas, I have been wicked. Now I suffer. Leave me here to die. I can no longer continue to live. What man could be rescued by his enemies and still drag on in his miserable existence, right? So that's what gives the pride of the Kshatriyas themselves. Right, good. But he's quite happy with Shakuni, where this is what happens. He was defeated, and he was rescued by Duryodhana. Proud as I am, the enemy has laughed at me, finding me deprived of my prowess. Means Yudhishthir wouldn't have laughed nothing at Bhima might have smiled, but it didn't mention anything. But even if they didn't, they maintained the composure. He's just projecting that I would have laughed. So he's sure that Bhima would have laughed. Duryodhana asked Karna to bring Dushasana to him. When the prince arrived, Duryodhana said, "O descendant of Bharata, hear my words. I order you to be installed in my place as the Earth's ruler. Become the refuge of your friends and relatives and the terror of your enemies. Always bestow charity upon the Brahmins and cherish your gurus. As Vishnu protects the celestials, you should protect your dependents." Right? Very good advice. Very good advice. And his advice he follows as long as it's not about the Pandavas. But in all other cases, because you see, the world's going on. We didn't hear the world went into chaos under his administration. Because he knows what to do. His father's a Rajarshi, and he's been trained as such. But because of his enmity towards the Pandavas, that's where we see how everything falls apart. Duryodhana clasped his brother's shoulders. "Go, dear brother, rule this wide earth. I shall end my life here." Dushasana was grief-stricken. He lowered his face and said, "O brother, please give up your determination to die. It can never be. Do not accept such a path. How can I become king in your place? The earth may split, the heavens may fall, and the sun may lose its heat, but I can never rule the earth without you." Crying out, "Relent, relent," again and again, Dushasana fell at his brother's feet. "You alone shall be the king for 100 years, and I shall be your servant." Right? You see, because nice, strong relationships and all that. And so this is the essential point that you see in the Vedic cultures. They have these relationships. Unfortunately, Duryodhana's relationships are only as far as the material concerns, so they'll be finished with the body. While the Pandavas, they have the same strong relationships, but they're in the context of Krishna consciousness and service to Krishna. And so those relationships will continue. And so they will get an eternal benefit, while Duryodhana will just get a temporary benefit. Of course, it's pious. It's a better temporary benefit than others. But we see is at the same time, is because of his materialism, he has a tendency towards sinful behavior. And so it destroys his actually such nice positions that he's gained from whatever piety he does actually follow. Then Karna said, "O heroes, what will all this achieve? Weeping does not drive away grief. Summon your patience, do not grieve, and thus give more joy to your enemies." Resting his hand on Duryodhana's shoulder, Karna continued, "The Pandavas only did their duty when they rescued you. For it is always the duty of subjects to do what is good for their king." So he's just saying, it's their duty, they're your subjects, they did their best. That's their business anyway. Just, you know, like that. So he's trying to show that it wasn't that, it was a victory on their part. "Under your protection, the Pandavas happily reside in your dominion." Right? You're out in the forest, because if Duryodhana wanted to kill them, then he'd constantly be sanctioning all his people all the time. But, you know, he's not, so therefore they're, you know, living under his dominion. He doesn't also, you know, they're leaving out other points, obvious points, but he's just trying to console Duryodhana. "They are dependent on you. O king, it is not otherwise. Do not indulge in sorrow like an ordinary man. O Duryodhana, we are all suffering to hear you speak of dying. Be blessed, rise up, and return to your city. Console your relatives." Karna tried his best to convince his friend to change his mind. He pointed out that although he had been subjugated and even enslaved, the Pandavas, they had not resolved to die. So he's pointing out, you did all this to them and it was terrible stuff, but they didn't try to die. So you also should not try to die. It was not wonderful that they had rescued him, right? No. There were many instances where a mighty king had somehow been overpowered by his enemies and been rescued by his troops, right? It means, you know, so just like those soldiers went around and tried to get help. The fortunes of war were unpredictable. Sometimes one gained victory and at other times he was defeated. A warrior had to learn how to tolerate one's life's reverses if you wanted to ultimately gain success. So, in other words, there's going to be reverses, but see the longer picture. So you have to overcome them and see the bigger picture. So that's Karna's advice. And so he's trying to cheer up Duryodhana. So we'll see if Duryodhana became cheered up or not. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.